Let's open tonight's service with hymn number 45 in your spiral gospel hymns hymn book. Number 45, Free Salvation. Let's all stand together. Thyself upon his love, so vast, so full, so free. I'm glad salvation's free. I'm glad salvation's free. Salvation's free for you and me. I'm glad salvation's free. Please be seated.
Without money and without price, free salvation. If it wasn't free, we couldn't afford it. Let's open our Bibles together to Psalm 24. Psalm 24. The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwell therein. Everything belongs to him. For he hath founded it upon the seas, and established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, and who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. We know who that is. And to be found in him is to have clean hands and a pure heart. And as we just sang, to have no charge against us. This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob, Selah. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts is the King of glory. Selah. Let's pray together. Our merciful Heavenly Father, our hope, coming before thy holy presence, is completely in thy dear Son, for all our acceptance, all our righteousness, all our forgiveness. Lord, we pray that for Christ's sake that you'd be pleased to bless us here tonight. Bless us with your Spirit, the Spirit of understanding, the Spirit of light and truth. Lord, we pray that you'd be pleased to cause us to find all our hope in Christ. Open your word, Lord, and open our hearts, and Forgive us of our sin. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen.
Number 199 in the hardback hymnal. 199. Let's stand together again. Sinners, Jesus will receive. Sound this word of grace to all who the heavenly pathway leave. All who linger, all who fall, sing it o'er and o'er again. Christ receive a sinful man. Make the message clear and plain. Christ receive a sinful man. Come and he will give you rest. Trust him, for his word is plain. He will take the sinfulest. Christ receive a sinful man. Sing it o'er and o'er again. Christ receive a sinful man. Make the message clear and plain. Christ receive a sinful man. Now my heart condemns me not. Pure before the law I stand. He who cleansed me from all spot satisfied its last demand. Sing it o'er and o'er again. Christ receive a sinful man. Make the message clear and plain. Christ receive a sinful man. Christ receive a sinful man. Even me with all my sin, purge from every spot and stain. Heaven with him I enter in. Sing it o'er and o'er again. Christ receive a sinful man. Make the message clear and plain. Christ receive a sinful man. Please be seated.
Let's turn in our Bibles to Judges chapter 12. Judges chapter 12. I pray the Lord will comfort the hearts of his people this morning, or this evening, as we think about our God's glory. The truth is that all men are either jealous of God's glory or they are jealous for God's glory. Judges chapter 12, beginning at verse 1. And the men of Ephraim gathered themselves together and went northward and said unto Jephthah, wherefore passeth thou over and to fight against the children of Ammon, and did not call us to go with thee? We will burn thine house upon thee with fire. This was not a minor dispute. They were angry that they didn't get the glory for defeating the Ammonites. And we know that these Ammonites represent our sin. They represent Satan. They represent the enemy of God and our enemies. And Jephthah is a glorious picture of Christ who went against the Ammonites and completely defeated them. And now the Ephraimites, after the battle is accomplished, after it's over, they're jealous that they don't get to participate in the glory. And Jephthah said unto them, I and my people were at great strife with the children of Ammon, and when I called you, you delivered me not out of their hands. You had an opportunity to help me. You know, we had an opportunity in our father Adam to be faithful to the law of God, and we couldn't do it. We couldn't do it. Now we're in need of one who's able to save us completely outside of ourselves. But these Ephraimites were jealous of Jephthah and angry that they didn't get to participate in the glory of the battle. Nothing's changed. Men are still offended by the gospel because it strips them of their glory. You know, I found a verse in the book of Job that, as I understand the book of Job, sort of summarizes the whole book. It's in Job chapter 19, verse 9, if you'd like to turn with me there. Job chapter 19, verse 9. As I understand the message of the book of Job, it's not about suffering. This is really what it's about. Look what Job says in Job chapter 19, verse 9. He hath stripped me of my glory and taken the crown from my head. That's what the gospel does. The gospel strips men of their glory. It takes the crown from their head. That's where Job had to be brought. He came to the end and he said, I had heard of thee by the hearing of mine ear. I thought I knew God, but now mine eyes have seen thee, and I abhor myself in dust and ashes. I was wearing the crown of glory, thinking that God owed me because of my faithfulness to him. And he has stripped me of my glory, and he's taken the crown from off my head. And he's given all the glory to another. All men, every single one of them, you and me included, will either be jealous of God's glory, or we will be jealous for God's glory. We had, if you could say, our chance in the garden. We weren't faithful. We didn't keep the law. Only had one law to keep. Not to eat the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. We couldn't keep it. In verse 3, and when I saw that he delivered me not, that you delivered me not, when I saw that you could not help me, I put my life in my hands and passed over against the children of Ammon, and the Lord delivered them into my hand. Wherefore then are you come up against me this day to fight against me? I put my life into my own hands. Know what the Lord Jesus Christ did? He came into this world. You had your opportunity to defeat the devil the first time he came to you. The very first time he came to you in the garden and tempted you by causing you to question the very word of God. And you didn't do it. So as the second Adam, or as the last Adam, I took my life into my own hands. And I took on the responsibility. And the Lord delivered them. The Lord delivered the enemy and sin and death and hell and the grave and Satan. He delivered him into my hand. Why are you standing against me? David put it like this in Psalm 62, verse 7. He said, In God is my salvation and my glory. He is all my glory, David said. He gets all the glory. You know, that's really the one question that discerns the false gospel from the true gospel. Who gets the glory? Who gets all the glory? I've taken my life into my own hands. No man could help me. I went up against the enemies of God all by myself, and God gave me the victory. What a gospel story. Here's the heart and soul of the gospel. Every other false gospel depends upon man to do something. The Lord said in Isaiah chapter 42, verse 8, "My glory will I not give to another." You and I have a jealous God. He's jealous for his glory. And we're jealous for him to have his glory. If the Lord doesn't get all the glory for salvation, then our salvation is jeopardized. Not only jeopardized, but lost. If there's something that I have to do to make a contribution to my salvation, then I have no hope. I have no assurance that I did it right, or that I did enough of it, or that I was sincere enough when I did it. So we're jealous for the glory of God. We want him to have all the glory in salvation. We want him to have all the glory, number one, because it's true that he gets all the glory. No man could help him. He took his life into his own hands, and he went up against the enemy and defeated them by the sacrifice of himself all by himself, putting away our sin. Secondly, we want him to have all the glory because it's right. It's right for him to have the glory. He's God, and we're not. And thirdly, we have a selfish reason for wanting God to have all the glory. We're jealous for his glory. Don't rob me of my salvation by giving me something to do in order for me to be saved. You'll rob me of my salvation. You'll rob me of my hope. I can never have any assurance that I did it right. So God's people, because of the truth and their love of the truth, and men won't come to God because they have no love of the truth, but because of the believer's love of the truth, because of his submission to God as God, and because of his own selfish protection of his own salvation, he's jealous for the glory of God. You are either jealous for his glory or jealous of his glory. Isn't that true of all men? These Ephraimites only had one reason to be angry with Jephthah. They did not get to share in the glory. But notice in our text, they had no interest in sharing in the glory when they had to go fight. But now that the battle's been won, they want some of the glory. Isn't that the way it is in man-made religion? You know, I can't defeat sin. I need Christ to defeat it for me. But he needs me to participate in what he's done in order for me. He stripped me of my glory. You've taken the crown from off my head. You've taken from me any hope. You see, it works both ways, doesn't it? The gospel will either rob you of your hope of salvation, or it'll be the only thing that will give you any hope of salvation. And for those who are jealous of God's glory, the gospel robs them of their hope. And those that are jealous for God's glory, the false gospel robs them of their hope. And so we are at a stalemate, aren't we? There's no place for compromise between the two. They want the glory after the fact. They wanted to kill Jephthah. As we're going to find out Sunday, as we read on in this passage, that 42,000 of the Ephraimites are going to die in a battle between Jephthah and them. And so their insistence upon having glory for this battle, and their insistence of and their jealousy towards Jephthah is going to result in their own death. And isn't that the way it is with the false gospel? Men insist on holding on to something that they've done or something that they're doing or a decision they made or prayer they prayed, and it results in their own death. It is nothing but spiritual suicide, and that's exactly what these men did here. Ephraim is often referred to in the Old Testament as the northern kingdom. You remember Ephraim and Manasseh were the two sons of Joseph, born in Egypt. And Ephraim was the younger son. And when Jacob went to bless Ephraim and Manasseh, you remember he swapped his hands and he put the blessing on Ephraim, the younger son. And yet Ephraim here is fulfilling his name. His name means a double ash heap. That's what Ephraim means. And here he's a picture of the northern kingdom, which was always opposed to the things of God. It was only Judah in the south that maintained its faithfulness to the line of David. The kingly reign of David was carried on only in Judah. In the northern kingdom, often referred to as Ephraim, they were always at odds with God and wanting to strip David of his glory and the throne of its glory and take to themselves that glory. And so here's a picture of all the false religions of the world gathering themselves together. Notice, all the religions of the world, all the false religions have one thing in common. They have one thing in common. They want to share in the glory of salvation. They want to take to themselves some credit, one way or the other. And they're jealous of God's glory. Someone sent me a text this week and was trying to encourage me to look into a church that is in North Carolina, a church that an extended family member was the pastor of in my family. And they wanted me to look into it. So I looked it up. And I wasn't surprised what I found. And this was their definition of the gospel. The gospel is the good news, so far so good, that by his grace and for his glory, so far so good, the holy and righteous God made a way for everyone to receive forgiveness of sins through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ by your repenting of sin and believing in Christ alone, in Jesus alone, for your salvation and for your Lord. God's made an offer. Christ died on Calvary's cross in order that everybody gets a chance. And he's helpless now. He's in the heavens wringing his hands, hoping that men will let him have his way. It's up to you. I've done my part. God's voted for you. The devil's voted against you. You get to break the tie. What's the gospel do? It strips me of my glory and it takes the crown from off my head. No, that's not the gospel. That's the Ephraimites. That's a double ash heap. That's going to lead to the death of 42,000 men. You see, it doesn't really matter if it's the ceremonies of Hinduism or the holy days of Judaism or the traditions of Islam or the hierarchy of Catholicism or the legalism of most Calvinism. There's a bunch of isms in the world, aren't there? A bunch of isms. But they all have one thing in common. They're jealous of God's glory. They want some credit to save themselves. That's what the problem was with these Ephraimites. After the battle was won, after it was all over, why didn't you? We're going to burn your house down. We're going to kill you. They were jealous. The Lord puts it this way in Psalm 2. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? This is an empty gospel, a gospel that would rob God of his glory, a message that would be opposed to God having all the glory in salvation. It's a vain thought. It's an empty thought. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine? They just imagine a vain thing. The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed. Here's what God says about all the man-made religions of this world. And they all have one thing in common. They're jealous of the glory that Jephthah got for winning the battle by himself. Let us break their bands asunder and cast their cords from us. We're not going to be bound by this. We're going to have it our way. We're not going to have that man reign over us. We're going to have something to say about this. And the Lord looks at them from heaven. Is he threatened by them, by their attempt to rob him of his glory? Is he threatened? But no, the scripture says he laughs. He holds them in derision. And he says to them, kiss the Son, lest he be angry with you. Kiss the Son, bow before him. Child of God, you are jealous for the glory of God, aren't you? You are. You want him to have all the glory. The last thing you want to do is rob him of any glory and take it to yourself in fear that you'd have no hope. The hope of your salvation is that he got the victory all by himself. That he, by the sacrifice of himself, was successful in putting away all the sins of all of God's people of every generation. And Jephthah has come home. And the Ephraimites hear about the battle against the Ammonites and they're jealous. And the child of God says, hallelujah, Jephthah. Thank the Lord. He gave you the victory. Every person in this world is jealous of God's glory, or they're jealous for God's glory. You know, as men are desperate to relieve themselves of the guilt and shame of their sin and to know God, they are. And there's three messages, there's three ways that are being presented in the world to achieve that end. The first message is this: you're not guilty. It's not your fault. You're a victim of your circumstances. Have you noticed how many addictions now are called diseases? Every addiction has a disease name for it. What are they saying? They're saying peace, peace when there is no peace. They're trying to salve men's conscience by saying you're not really to blame. You can shift the blame to somebody else or something else. The second message is, you are to blame, but you can fix it. You can do something about it. The first message was the message that Adam first went to in the garden, didn't he? The blame game goes all the way back to the very first conversation recorded between Adam and God. Where art thou, Adam? The woman which thou gavest me. And then the second picture is seen in Cain. Cain said, well, it didn't help. What my father did in trying to blame God didn't really help. So maybe I can fix it. And Cain brings the sacrifice of his own labors. So, you know, that's the second message. You're at fault, but you can fix it. You know, you just you go through the right steps and make your commitments and make some good decisions, and you can rectify this problem. You can solve it. The third message, which is the only message that's true and the only message that gives liberty and freedom in Christ, is the one that says you are completely at fault and God has already fixed it. He's already fixed it. He has put away, he has defeated the Ammonites. He has put away all the sins and felt all the shame and all the guilt of all of God's people. Put them away. And God's people rejoice. They don't want to rob him of that glory. They want him to have all the glory. And the third one we find in Abraham. If the first one we see in Adam and the second one we see in Cain, the third one we see is in Abraham, isn't it? When Abraham and Isaac are going up on the mountain and, Father, here's the wood and here's the fire, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? We looked at the burnt offering last Sunday. The burnt offering was a complete offering, sacrifice to God for sin. It was a sin offering is what it was. What did Abraham say to Isaac? Son, God will provide himself a sacrifice. God will do all the providing. He will provide himself as the sacrifice, and he will provide himself to himself as the sacrifice. This offering is not made to us. Christ made it to his Father. And he succeeded in satisfying the demands of God's justice and God's law. Oh, Jephthah has come home. Amnon has been defeated. The Ephraimites, those who are nothing but an ash heap, are jealous. We're going to burn your house down. We're going to kill you. Our Lord says to them, I came to you in the garden. I gave you an opportunity to stand up to sin and to Satan and to defeat your enemy. And you couldn't do it. So I took my life into my own hands. And God gave me the victory. What a glorious message. Listen to what the Lord says in Zechariah chapter 2 about Jerusalem. He says, For I, saith the Lord, will be unto her a wall of fire round about, and I, saith the Lord, will be the glory in the midst of her. Isn't that true? God's people come together. He gets all the glory. And we rejoice in the fact that he took his life into his own hands. And he did for us what we could not do for ourselves. And that God gave him the victory. We're not jealous of his glory. We're jealous for his glory. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. In this chapter, the Lord tells us how it is that he got the glory in election, in redemption, in regeneration, in sanctification, how God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit get all the glory. And God's people rejoice in that. Look at Ephesians chapter 1, beginning at verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. All of my blessings are bound up in him. Yeah, I was reading Hawker this morning, and I love the way he said it. He said the full oak tree is in all of its foliage and in all of its strength is wrapped up in that acorn. And that's so true, isn't it? It's wrapped up in that acorn. And here we have all the blessings of God, the fullness of the foliage of His church that will one day be realized. It's all bound up in that seed. Everything that acorn will ever be is bound up in that one little that one acorn. Look at verse 4, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Years ago I'd read that and I think, well, I need to be more holy and I need to be more without blame and I need to be more loving. No, that's what being chosen in Him does. It makes us without blame and it makes us holy and it gives us the love of God. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself. This happened in the covenant of grace. When God the Father, God the Son, God the Father placed His elect, His predestined people, His chosen people in Christ Jesus. According to the good pleasure of His will. That's the only explanation. Why would God choose me? Why would God choose some? Why is it that I have a jealousy for God's glory and the other people I know outside of Christ are jealous of His glory? The good pleasure of His will. It's the only answer. He didn't look down through the quarters of time and see in you and me something that impressed Him. He didn't see a decision that we would make and therefore choose us according to His foreknowledge. No. He loved us before the foundation of the world. If that's the way it worked, then that's still a free will gospel. God had to look at what man was going to do before he could determine what He was going to do. That's a free will works gospel. No. He predestinated us according to the good pleasure of His will. He is God. He will not share His glory with another. He will do what He wills, when He wills, however He wills, with whomever He wills. He always does it right. Look at verse 6. To the praise of the glory of His grace. So there's the glory that goes to God the Father. Having predestinated us in Christ before the foundation of the world, that His people would praise Him. here's the heart of those who are jealous for God's glory. They're not like the children of Ephraim that were jealous of the glory that Jephthah got. They're jealous for God's glory. They're like Jephthah. I took my life into my own hands. God gave me the victory. Here it is. Lord, why would You choose me? Why would You choose me? Why would You give me a heart for Your glory? Only according to the good pleasure of Your will and the glory of Your grace. The glory of Your grace. Wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. We have our acceptance in Christ before God. Look at verse 7. In whom? In the Lord Jesus Christ. In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. Wherein He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made unknown unto us the mystery of His will, according to the good pleasure which He hath purposed in Himself. There it is again. Why does God save some and not others? According to the good purpose of the pleasure that is within Himself. He does what He wants. That in the dispensation of the fullness of time, He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in Him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will, that we should be to the praise of His glory. We're jealous for His glory, aren't we? He does get all the glory. The Father gets all the glory for having predestinated a people according to his own will and purpose. The Son gets all the glory for having redeemed, successfully redeemed, all those whom the Father chose. Let's read on. Verse 12, let's read that again because I missed the last part of it. That we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. Who first trusted in Christ? God the Father trusted in Christ. Remember Jephthah trusting his daughter and letting her go into the mountains for 2 months and bewail her virginity with her fellows? And here's a picture of God the Father, who trusted the Lord Jesus Christ to fulfill the promises of the covenant when he would take his life into his own hands and God would give him the victory. In whom you also trusted after that you heard the word of truth. There's no salvation apart from hearing the gospel. How shall they call upon him in whom they've not believed? And how shall they believe on him in whom they've not heard? Everyone that hears with the ears that God gives them will believe. And in believing, they will call. Notice in whom also you trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. The good news that God has accomplished the salvation of his people. That he gets all the glory, that Christ actually redeemed everyone chosen in the covenant of grace. In whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Three times in this passage we read unto the praise of his glory. The first time is related to the Father in election. The second time is related to Christ in redemption. And the third time is related to the Holy Spirit in regeneration and in sanctification. To the praise of his glory. We're not jealous of his glory, are we? We're jealous for his glory. The gospel of God's free grace in the accomplished work of the Lord Jesus Christ gives to him all the glory. Moses in Exodus chapter 33 asked the Lord, he said, Lord, show me thy glory. Show me thy glory. Let's turn to that passage. Exodus chapter 33. Now, Moses had seen a lot at this time. He met God audibly and visually at the burning bush when he had to take his shoes from off his feet and God spoke to him. He saw the acts of God in the 10 plagues that the Lord sent to prove his glory. His glory over the false gods of Egypt to the children of Israel. The Lord wasn't punishing Egypt or trying to convince the Egyptians that he was God. He was showing the children of Israel, who he knew would go back to those gods, that those gods were no gods at all. Moses saw that. He saw the dividing of the Red Sea. He saw the water come out of the rock. He saw the mountain quake. He'd already received the law from God. Now the Lord's going to move him. And he says, Lord, if you don't go with us, don't let us take a step if you don't go with us. Lord, I need to see your glory. I need to see your glory. After all that he had seen, look at verse 18. And he said, I beseech thee, I plead with thee, show me thy glory. And here it is, verse 19. And he, the Lord, said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee. I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee. He'd already given him his name. Jehovah, I am the self-existent, sovereign, omnipotent, immutable God, completely independent of man. I'm going to show you my name. My name is my glory. My name is my glory. Lord, you've stripped me of my glory and you've taken the crown from off my head. That's what Job said. I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee. And here it is. I will be gracious unto whom I will be gracious. And I will have mercy on whom I will show mercy. There's my glory. My glory is my sovereignty and salvation. My glory is in knowing that salvation is of the Lord. It's not dependent upon anything that a man does. He's going to get all the glory in election and redemption and regeneration. So, well, how do I know he's chosen me? You are jealous for his glory, not of his glory. I repeat that again. All men are either jealous of the glory of God or they are jealous for the glory of God. If you are jealous for his glory, you rejoice in knowing that he gets all the glory, that all of your salvation was his accomplished work of redemption. That's faith. Faith is the evidence of things hoped for. Faith is the substance of things not seen. There it is. We're resting the hope of our salvation on the glorious person of the Lord Jesus Christ, who took his life into his own hands. And the Lord gave him the victory. And we dare not be jealous of him. And we are by his grace jealous for him. And we sing that song with the church in glory. In the book of Revelation, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For thou hast created all things, both physical and spiritual. To be made in Christ is the creation of God. God makes something out of nothing. Thou hast created all things. And for thy pleasure, they are and were created. Lord, you get all the glory. We rejoice in knowing that our God gets all the glory. Listen to what Jude said in closing his little epistle. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty and dominion and power now and forever. Amen. Our Heavenly Father, thank you. We have a Savior who took his life into his own hands. We were unable to defeat the enemy. Lord, we thank you that you have put into our hearts a jealousy for his glory. Lord, we pray that you would deepen that conviction and cause us, Lord, to depend more and more on thee for all things. For it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. Number 9 in the Sproul Hymnal. Let's stand together.
Is not that I did choose thee, for, Lord, that could not be. This heart would still refuse thee, hast thou not chosen me. Thou from the sin that stained me hast cleansed and set me free. Of old thou hast ordained me that I should live to thee. Your love had no beginning, no cause in me was found, that you should choose to save me, a sinner strongly bound. But grace not earned or sought for was purpose for my soul. For me salvation wrought, for Christ paid the dreadful toll. 'Twas sovereign mercy called me and taught my opening mind. The world had else enthralled me to heavenly glories blind. My heart owes none before thee, for thy rich grace I thirst. This knowing